Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy love, Thy grace, Thy mercy. Thou hast been kind to us. Thou hast looked upon us as sheep having no shepherd. Thou knowest how weak we are. Thou knowest how wayward we are. Thou knowest how fearful we are in ourselves. And Thou hast spoken kindly to us and given us confidence and to come to Thee. We pray Thee, Father, to bless us, drawing us nearer to Thee and helping us. Grant that in this hour that Thou mayest, by Thy Holy Spirit, take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. In our study of the Gospel according to Matthew, we move now to chapter 26. And if you have been following along with our study in the studies prior to this, in chapter 24 and 25, you'll have the feeling when you come to chapter 26 as if you were coming off the judge's bench for the time being. We have been hearing how the Lord would judge, and that's very proper. It belongs to the glory of God. It belongs to the honesty and the integrity of God. And the Lord Jesus, as King, was explaining that the judgment that comes from God would make a difference between those who were sincerely following Him and those who were not sincerely following Him. And now we come in chapter 26 to some things that are going to be happening just before the end of His days. The opening part of the chapter, in the first few verses, we see that the time of His crucifixion was drawing nigh. We read in chapter 26, verse 1, "It came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings," that's all those parables that I've been talking about and that we've been studying, "He said unto His disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." In other words, He's saying to them, you know that things are moving on to a climax, and that the big end of all these things is going to come to pass. "Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill Him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people." And so here we are given in these words the fact that the Lord Jesus Himself knew that the time was drawing nigh, told His disciples it's going to be soon, and it's going to be just a couple of days now, and things are going to come to an issue. And at that time, all the leaders gathered together in the palace of the high priest and took counsel together, consulted together, how they might take Jesus by some trick and kill Him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. So that was the way in which it was. And then we come in verse 6 to this incident that in many respects is one of the sweetest and one of the finest we'll find in the career of our Lord Jesus Christ upon earth. You will all remember it as the case of where Mary came and anointed Him while He was in the house of Simon the leper in the city of Bethany. And as we read along in this, we will be noticing what the Lord Jesus very, very greatly endorsed and appreciated. Actually, we're going to see how a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ could act in a way that would be pleasing to Him. When Jesus was in Bethany, I'm reading in chapter 26, verse 6, in the house of Simon the leper, "There came unto Him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on His head, and as He sat at meat." She came and anointed Him with a very precious ointment. Now, the anointing with spices and so on was a custom that would be followed to some extent in that day and time when people wanted to show deference to anybody, and in a particular way to honor them. And she came with this box of this very precious material, and she just poured it on His head. The implication would be over His whole being. That's what she did, and you can call that the woman's act. "But when His disciples saw it," I'm reading in verse 8, "they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. So here we see that while the woman's act was to take something very precious which belonged to her and bring it to the Lord Jesus personally and give it to him, what she did to him as a gift for free, although she took some of her own money, you might say, and brought a very precious box of ointment and used it to anoint him. But that having been done, that was for him personally, and had done it just for him. Now when the disciples saw it, they were filled with indignation. They were provoked, and they criticized her for it, and they said, "Why? To what purpose is this waste?" is what they called it. "For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." That has a very contemporary ring, hasn't it? With great emphasis to what we ought to do for poor people. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." When I read that, I wonder in myself whether this means that Mary anticipated that the Lord Jesus would soon be killed. As a matter of fact, he was. In just a few days from this, he actually was killed. And it's conceivable that Mary may have known it. I don't know. But the Lord Jesus took it that way. Not that he didn't know, but he picked it up that way and put it that way before us and said that while she put this ointment on my body now, actually, that's because she did it because she knew this body of mine would be dead. And when the body was dead, they always covered it with perfume. They covered it with ointment, with pomade of one sort and another, which would cause it so that it would not have a bad odor so quickly. I'm sure that that was a practical reason, as well as because it would be something that people would want to do because they love this person. In any case, the Lord Jesus said, "I have accepted this as if she had known that I was going to die, and that's why she has done this." Now you will find in here, in this portion, that the woman's rating has a twofold quality. In one way, she is rated by the disciples with criticism and repudiation. They suggest that she was very foolish to spend everything she had in this way to get money and to just do this for the Lord. But the Lord has a different view of it, and the woman's rating by the Lord is quite different. He appreciates what she has done. "She did it for me. She hath wrought a good work upon me." And then he says something very significant to them. "You have the poor always with you." And in another place he says, "When you will, you can do them good." And he is implying here, you can take care of them, but me you have not always. In that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. In just a few days I'll be gone. Then comes this. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, this shall also be, there shall also this, that the woman has done, be told for a memorial of her." By the way, do you realize that's the only thing done to the Lord Jesus Christ personally that he ever asked anybody to repeat? Do you know, have you ever thought of the fact that everything he taught he did himself? Every illustration he gave on his own, except this one. And he offers it to us because in a very real way, this action seemed to bring to them a sort of an example of what could be done on the part of anybody that wanted to serve the Lord. You see, when you think about the gospel being preached and you tell the whole wide world what Christ Jesus has done for us, there's one thing that he can illustrate everything from himself, but one thing. There's one thing he cannot in himself illustrate, and that is, how should a person act toward him? Now, he can illustrate what one should do toward the Lord, and he did. He can illustrate what obedience is, and he did. He can illustrate what faithfulness is, and he did. But he would not illustrate what one should do to him. But he takes up this one incident that this woman has, and he takes it up and shows that this is the thing he wanted us all to know. In other words, if you really wanted to know how to serve the Lord and to serve the Lord acceptably, here it is. And what was it again that she did? She took something very precious, that was of her own, and she brought it to the Lord personally, and she gave it to him directly as a gift. That was really what this thing was so acceptable to the Lord. Perhaps we'd have time in just a moment to raise this question, which I might call the woman's secret, and ask this of ourselves. How did she know this was going to be so impressive to the Lord? How did she know that her conduct in this case was going to touch him in this way? The truth of the matter is, I don't think she knew. I don't think she realized. She didn't do it for that reason. You might say, well, why did she do it? I don't think she did it to have her name spoken of everywhere. I don't think she did it so that she'd be talked about all over the world. Then why did she do it? And I'm going to suggest to you, she did what she did because she loved him. She did it for him personally. And I'm saying that to you as I am because this is the very basis on which you will ever do anything for him. Are you trying to be faithful to him in your home? Are you trying to act in your home in a way that would be acceptable to the Lord? Would you like to be well-pleasing in his sight? Would you like to do something as for him? He won't miss it. And if you will do it for him, I'll tell you, everybody in your home will be blessed. Everybody will be blessed. And the Lord won't miss it if you do it for him. Are you doing anything in the church to serve the Lord in the church? Teaching a Sunday school class? Or leading some group, perhaps? Maybe you're a circle leader. Or maybe you're a deacon or an elder in the church and you have some things to do for the Lord in the church. Do you want to know how you can do that so that it will always bring you peace and gladness? Do it as unto him. Do it the way Mary did her part. Bring what you've got, the precious box of ointment, the very best that you've got, and bring it to him personally as a gift, and do it directly to him, and you will be inwardly blessed because he will appreciate it. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to serve that way. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.